The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and began to teach him. The scribes and Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and making her stand before the people. They said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" They said this to test Jesus, so that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. When the scribes and the Pharisees kept on questioning him, Jesus straightened up and said to them, "Let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And once again Jesus bent down and wrote on the ground. When the scribes and the Pharisees heard what Jesus had said, they went away one by one, beginning with the elders, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, sir." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way, and from now on do not sin again." The Gospel of the Lord. In the Holy Spirit, we can understand in these readings that the Lord does not disregard sin, but he shows us the greater power of his mercy and reveals to us an inheritance in him, which has only been understood through the ages. Here in the Gospel, we can understand the Lord does not dismiss the sin of the woman as the last words, "Go your way, and from now on do not sin again." Neither does he put away the Old Testament law of God, but he shows the greater plan of the mercy of God, which overwhelms this sin. We can imagine, as we know, that St. John said that this woman was St. Mary Magdalene, said to be a prostitute before, that it reveals to us the greater mercy of God, who lifts up this woman to give her a dignity so she can recognize, she can repent, and become one beloved of the Lord. This too gives us an inheritance in the Lord. Why do I say inheritance? It's because it helps to define who we are as Christians. But we had to take hold of this over the ages. In Saul, who became St. Paul, we have an example of what this inheritance, the grace and the mercy of the Lord, can do. You see, you had one in Saul who was condemning those in his mind who were blaspheming the Lord, stoning them just like this woman, raging with anger against those who are proclaiming Jesus the Messiah, and in his passion directing his people to persecute the Christians to death. This was according to the strict interpretation of the old law. But after he encountered the living Lord Jesus Christ, in a personal, in an intimate way, he completely changed his life. No longer living in rage, persecution, but now saying that all things he considers rubbish in reference to this experience of the living God, Jesus Christ. Now preaching love and mercy and the forgiveness of the Lord. This is the transformative effect of the gospel. You should know this as Christians, that we have this as in our inheritance. We had to take hold of this over the centuries. In the early church, you see in the early Christians, they didn't stone any who were caught in adultery or other sexual acts, or anyone who had done blasphemy. You had to do penance if you did this after baptism, often for many years. Was not any kind of violent penance against you. What the Lord was starting to restore was how we are called to live in the Garden of Eden. There was no need for the law, no need for the strict punishments, because we all knew and lived the way of the God. But as it were, the Lord condescended to the Israelites to give them a law that they could understand. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Put away adulterers and idolaters in a harsh way because they could understand that. But the Lord Jesus gave us a greater way, which took time even to transform Christians, as we see over the centuries later. Catholic kings and leaders did persecute those who were opposed to the Catholic way, sometimes in seemingly justified ways, when they had violent heretics killing and raping and murdering Catholics. They put them down with violence and executed their leaders. But sometimes they took revenge and went beyond just protecting their people. And only recently did we come to see that even this is not totally in keeping with the way of the Lord. But we can recognize as Christians that we have been given inheritance to recognize that all people are created in the image of God. That we should treat prisoners with dignity. Those caught in sin with dignity and respect. Not to live in hatred or declare that some people are completely without the possibility of repentance, that we should just hate them and despise them. See, we can recognize, if we look at other cultures that are present today, that such things as stoning for those caught in adultery still exists, that you have harsh punishments for certain types of sins. But even those who have Christian background, the nations have put away this. Even the Jews in Israel no longer practice this. But we can also recognize that even as Christians, we are not far from turning back to hatred, dehumanizing our enemies, and declaring some sins, perhaps new sins, that weren't declared so in the past, as unforgivable, that people should just be tortured. Such has been the history of the world over the last 100 years, when Christian nations fought each other and declared their enemies to be subhuman, evil, and you can do whatever kind of torture and abuse against them. It's happening today. This is a temptation that ever lies before our human nature. So we should root ourselves and understand our Christian inheritance to reject hatred, false characterizations of people, to recognize the dignity of all people created in the image of God, and to follow the way of Christ and His mercy and His love. Further, we can recognize the true power of the gospel comes in that personal encounter. See, what lies behind this gospel is a personal encounter of Jesus with a sinner, the one who came to be called a saint. We can see the movement here. Jesus recognizes the situation. There's rage and passion calling for the death of the woman. And the first response of our Lord Jesus is, silence, calmness. It says that he turned and wrote on the ground. We don't know exactly what, but what we can recognize is he was not shouting back at them. He was calm. He was rational in his understanding. And in time, with this calm response, he replied in a rational way to their rage and their confusion and their fury, perhaps fueled by demons, pointing towards a different way, the way of mercy and love. And we could further see perhaps the movement of the woman, first with her face down to the ground in fear that she was about to be killed, in despair, and then she experiencing the silence, recognizing or having some courage to look around, seeing that everyone had turned away, having the courage to look up a little bit, seeing Jesus, his face to her face, and seeing that Jesus raising her up so that, to her amazement, she could repent, take hold of the mercy of God, and walk away as a free person. This is the encounter with Jesus Christ. This is what he offers. And all of us are called to imitate him, to be that face of Jesus, reaching out to give the face of mercy, even to those who we might have temptation to despise, to degrade, to dehumanize. Then we are most especially called to reach for the grace of the Lord, to be the witness of mercy and calmness and rationality, to turn away from the temptation to scorn and hatred, and using all sorts of names, and look towards the Holy Spirit for the response. This is the way of Christ. Let us then take hold of our Christian inheritance, proclaim it to the ends of the world, proclaim its meaning and understanding that this is part of Catholic culture. This is what it means to be a true follower of Christ. And then we can transform the world through that transformative gospel, which first touches our souls in that intimate and personal encounter with the Lord, and then reaches out to the end of the world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.